remember that last week we began to take a look at this text as we are thinking about this season in which we live, the birth of Christ. This is a very familiar text, and that's what I said. I wanted to spend a little bit more time this year, so we got started a little earlier. I want to read our verses and then get everybody on the same page. We started last week. I want to get everybody on the same page and then see if we can finish up this text today. If you're physically able to stand, would you do so? It's seven verses, but I want to honor God as we read this in His presence. Verse 1, "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations." Verse 2. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. And they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior is in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire." Verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen." Lord, we bow before you again, humbly confessing that we need your help to understand clearly what you're saying to us. We need your help to make right application in our own lives, and we need your help to order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. Again, a second time this week, our subject will be "A Great Light is Shining." A great light is shining. You might remember the emphasis here is for us to understand these verses that are so familiar with us. Most of us will remember, see on Christmas cards and on plaques and a lot of different places, his name shall be called a Wonderful, right? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. We see that a lot. I wanted us to understand the background there and to appreciate, first of all, what it meant to the people that first heard it and what it is to mean to you and I today, all right? So, you remember some of the background that we saw was that this king, Ahaz, was a wicked king that ruled in Judah. And by this point in history, we are about 200 years after the kingdom has been divided, right? Started out as one nation, Israel, and then after Solomon, the nation was divided. And so we're about 200 years from that point. And we've seen, I believe, about 16 or 17 kings in the larger nation group called Israel. The larger group is still called Israel. The small southern group here is called Judah. And so these two kingdoms are divided, and this king Ahaz was a wicked king that's ruling over Judah. God gave him an opportunity to repent and to trust him, but Ahaz would not, all right? But even when you have leaders that won't obey God, God will still take care of you, okay? And so no one in our own country, you may not agree with what's going on in our country, But trust that God is going to take care of you. All right? You think of Christ, if you read the history of the people of God, and even when Christ came into the world, he came under a wicked king. But God still worked his plan out, right? And so God gave his people hope, even though Ahaz wasn't going to change. He wasn't going to repent. He was going to die a wicked king. He gave his people hope that a faithful king was coming in the future, okay? Now, this is what you've got to keep in mind. This was the hope that they had 700 years before Christ came. So these people were never going to see him, right? But they still had hope. You see, faith is the confidence of things, right? Not seen. Assurance that you can have in things that are still ahead, right? Things that are still hoped for. And so by faith, they could still have hope and encouragement that a future faithful king is coming, even though Ahaz is not. So therefore, he encouraged the remnant, those that were faithful in Judah, to stay faithful until the end. Last week, as we looked at the verses 1 through 5, we saw that this future king is going to bring the light of the gospel. Just as a refresher, if you could turn to Matthew chapter 4. Let's turn there real quick and get everybody on the same page with us. Matthew chapter 4. You've read these verses before, but I want you to think about these verses now in light of what we just read here. Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. This is Jesus has been born now, and he's already been engaged in his ministry. And it says at verse 13, "And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea." Yes? "In the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali." We just read about Zebulun and Naphtali, yes? "So that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." Verse 16, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light." Yes? "And for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. 700 years later, he fulfills this promise, right? And Christ himself then becomes that great light that comes and shines, right? He brings that gospel, that good news to people that have never heard it, people that have been enslaved in their sins and wickedness for generations, and that light comes and shines in there just so that they can be free. Yeah? That's what the gospel is. That's what Christ came to do. And so this future king brought the light of the gospel. And then last week we also saw, before I leave that, because if you remember, I asked you a question last week. When we look at the gospel coming into regions where there are darkness, the light had to shine for people to see. So my question to you, you call the light too, right? We are the light of Christ. Do you shine in the places that God sends you? You see? People can't see unless the light shines. And if you're too embarrassed to shine for Christ, you can see that you are causing harm. Because people need your light so they can see. Christ has put light in you, and he says, therefore, let your light what? Shine before men, right? So they can see what? Your good works and bring glory to the Father. So you and I need to think about the same thing. Every one of us is sent into some places of darkness, whether it's on your job or your students, you at school. You pick any venue, you know. Whatever venue you're going in, you have been sent into darkness. So my question to you is, are you shining? Lastly, we saw that the light brings hope and joy to people that believe. verses 1 and 3. But then, not only does it bring hope and joy, which you and I are to bring, we also see that the light brings freedom, right? The light brings freedom. I remember when I was working at Southwestern Bell, it was just so tragic at times. We had some single guys in our group, and they would come in with, and somewhat bragging, but some of the tragic things that had happened in their lives, okay? And having regrets for what they had done, but yet the next weekend they knew they were going to go and repeat it again, okay? Now, they didn't know that they were enslaved. Just like before I got set free, I'd do the same thing. Horrible hangover on a Sunday or so, whatever. All kinds of, and not knowing what you did or said, right? All kind of regrets, saying that you'll never do it again. But amnesia sets in about what? Wednesday or Thursday of the next week, and what? You find yourself doing it over again. Yeah? Because I didn't realize that I was a slave, right? And so the gospel is designed to bring what? Freedom. Now, after Christ met me when I was so lost and set me free, I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to do that anymore. I was set free from it. You get it? So that's the issue. You and I are around people every day that are still slaves. Are you willing to bring the light of the gospel into their lives so they can be set free? Talking about them isn't going to set them free. Yeah? Talking about the sadness of their situation isn't going to set them free. It's only the light of the gospel. That's what set you free, and that's what will set them free. And so the question last week was, are you letting your light shine so that people can have hope and joy? Are you letting your light shine so that people can be set free? Christ came to bring hope and joy to you and me. He came to set you and me free so that we could go and what? Do the same. Yes? Amen. That's really the Christian life. All of these other struggles go along with it. But when it's all said and done, you and I will give an account for what we did with our lives. God will not be entertaining how hard it was. The question was, what did you do about it? Because your issue, here's the bottom line. Every one of us, though we have issues, the Bible clearly says that your temptation is not no different than anybody else's. I mean, it may be a different kind, but everybody's thing is hard. Yeah? You cannot quit because you think yours is harder than everybody else. That's not true. It may be different than other people's, but the Bible has clearly said that there's no temptation except that which is what? Common. We all have issues and problems, but God still expects our light to shine. Amen? Regardless of how hard and how difficult it is, there's light in you. God says, let it shine. We good? You mad? That's light. God wants us to be light because light is what this world needs. Yeah? So keep that in mind as we finish this up today. God wants people to have hope and joy, and he wants them to be free. As we look at these last two verses today, then what I want us to see is that not only does light come into darkness, but peace comes into disaster. That's what God is saying to these people 700 years before Christ, is that peace is on the way. Ahaz has not led you into peace. You have all kind of war and disaster, but peace is on the way. So, I want to start by showing you that in the kingdom of God, there is stability. Ahaz had brought nothing but war and destruction and instability to God's people. But what God says here is that the king is coming. The birth of the king is going to bring stability. You got look at chapter 9 and verse 6. To us, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He is saying to these troubled people that this child that's going to be born is going to bring stability to the whole world. This son that's going to be given is going to bring stability to the world that may be still filled with war. Your life may be still in turmoil, but this son, this child that's coming is going to bring such a stable foundation to your life that you can handle it, okay? And that was the hope that he was trying to give to the people that lived 700 years before he came. What's the point, Brother Willie? Your faith in Christ can stabilize you whether you see things change or not. Faith is designed to be to stabilize us. That's the reason it's the old King James, it's the substance of things what? Hope for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I don't need to see it to believe it. That's what true biblical faith is. And so these people, though they would never see Christ, could have real stability in their life because the future king was going to bring that stability. So the point is that the child is actually the son, all right? He said that to us a child is born, a son is given. That child is actually the son, and that son is actually the Son of God, okay? So if you have seen this verse on a Christmas card or on a plaque or whatever, you need to keep this context in mind. This verse was given to give people hope 700 years before Christ was born. And it's designed to give you and I hope 2,000 years after he's died. Isn't this amazing? Because Christ's hope never fades. It transcends time. It can give people hope 3,000 years ago and still give us hope today. This is phenomenal. This is what faith in Christ will do. It not only gives you hope and joy and sets you free, it actually brings stability in your life. You don't have to flop to and fro with all of the issues. The life has ebbs and flows, but God wants you to be able to handle. It's like Peter out there on the sea. You remember that? He's in the boat, and the boat's rocking and carrying on. Jesus says, Lord, let me come to you. What? He gets out of the boat, and he's not rocking anymore. Everything else is still going on, but once he focuses on Christ, yeah. Now he's got stability. Yeah. In the storm. Amen. Yeah? Amen. In the storm. My brother, my sister, I'm saying to you, as a Christian, that's what God wants for every one of us. Everybody in here has storms going on. I don't even need to talk to you. Right? We all have war. We're at war with the devil, with the world, with the flesh. That war is going on, right? But God wants us to have stability as we face it. The certainty of his birth gives hope to anyone who is suffering and waiting. Anyone who is suffering and waiting. So when you and I sing these songs about the birth of Christ, we're singing them because they've already happened. That shouldn't give you any less joy. When we sing songs about the crucifixion, yeah, that's already happened. But that should give you real encouragement. God pulled it off. He did it just like he said he would. Yeah? And so, for example, why do you have such joy about your birthday? For some of us, for me, that was 6 or 7 years ago. But it's real. I celebrate it because it happened. And every year I'm just thankful that God kept me another year. Yeah. So when we celebrate the birth or the crucifixion, yeah, it's in the past, but God pulled it off. And I'm just thankful that he did.
Amen.
Right? Faith. Faith in Christ. You see, life may not make sense, but faith in Christ makes sense. Right? That's the reason that God would say, trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart. Even if you can't figure out what's going on in your life, just trust God. Just trust him. Right? He knows what he's doing. So this stability, this son, this child, was to bring stability. The king's rule brought stability. You back in verse 6? Look at verse 6. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Amen. He brings stability. His rule is going to bring stability. The certainty of Christ coming and taking complete control ought to comfort anyone in a chaotic situation. For example, Christ has already come once, but he's coming what? Again. All of us that are frustrated with what's going on in the government and around the world, my brother, my sister, do you realize that's going to be put down? Christ is coming back. Every knee will bow to him. All of these mighty people that you think are running the world, it doesn't matter who you think's running the world right now. The king is coming.
Yes, he is.
Going to put everyone in their place. Everyone will be put in their place. The people that have done you wrong on the job or in school or wherever the case may be, in your neighborhood. All of this. There's sometimes when you listen to the news, it's almost as if lying today is a deception is a given. Right? I mean, telling the truth is no longer the standard. Now, I'm not just talking about outside the church. Right? I mean, we should expect that outside the church. But my brother, my sister, among us, the truth came to do what? Set us free. So why would we go back to the lie? Or even go back to telling lies when we know that it's truth that sets people what? Free. So the king brings stability and his government ought to bring encouragement to everyone here today. Finally, the king's character, that's where I see it, brings stability. I see that at the last part of verse 6. You see that? And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Well, Brother Willie, how does that bring stability? First of all, think about it. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. What do you need when you're in trouble? I need a wonderful counselor, don't you? Someone who knows everything about everything. He brings divine wisdom. He says that to people 700 years before Christ. He says that to you and me. In your chaotic situation, you have got to look to the Lord. He knows what to do, right? He is the wonderful counselor now, just like he was then. He is, then he says his name shall be what? Mighty God. Yes. Not only do I need a God who knows everything, I need a God who what? Can do anything. Right. Nothing is impossible with God. He's the mighty God.
He is.
He's the everlasting Father, which means I'm in an everlasting relationship with Christ. Aren't you thankful for that? Neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, death. And before that, he lists out all these difficulties in life, hunger and deprivation. Nothing will what? Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need that when we're in trouble. I need to know that this situation that I'm going through cannot separate me from God's love. God doesn't love me any less because I don't have money. God doesn't love me any less because my situation is falling apart. Amen? I need to know that now. And so His character brings stability. He's the everlasting Father. And then he says his name will also be what? The Prince of Peace. God brings peace when my situation is so chaotic. He brings harmony into my life. The certainty of his holy character encourages anyone who is under his divine authority. So as we leave this point and try to make our last one, I got a question for you. The question is, do you live with the promised peace and stability that we see here? Is that the way you live? Are you here right now in peace? Can you say for sure that right now your mind isn't wondering about bills or some other problem that's going on? You're sitting in worship and your mind is engaged by something else. You see, you're not benefiting from the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace says, I'm here to meet with you so you can have peace. Why would you be thinking about that issue there? When you're in the presence of the King, your mind needs to be focused on being in the King's presence. Yeah? Think of how different it would be. I don't know who you respect, but let's assume somebody that you respect highly was here today, was standing before you. Would you let your mind wander? The person's going to be here with you for a short while. You'd be focused, right? And so that's the issue that I'm asking you. The Prince of Peace has come. Are you living your life benefiting from the peace and stability that he brings? You are the only one that can answer that. The question is, when the bottom drops out of your finances, or when the bottom drops out of your health or out of your family, when the bottom drops out of your ministry, when Satan is attacking you in all of these ways, do you live with this peace and stability? Does the Word of God and the Holy Spirit provide an anchor for you in your storms? Are you looking for something more? I'm always amazed to see churches. The people are up shouting and carrying on because some speaker has got them all worked up. And when it's all said and done, they walk outside and depression sets back in again. Because the substance, you cannot maintain peace if it's not rooted on something substantive. Right? Just resolving yourself, putting earplugs, earbuds in your ears and listening to a sermon over and over again, if it's not rooted in something solid, it won't help you. My brother, my sister, I'm saying to you, Jesus ought to be enough to bring peace to your situation. Not Willie, not my sermons, not my teaching. Jesus ought to be enough to bring peace to your situation. Yes? Amen. He is. He is. And that's what these people 700 years ago found, and I hope that's what you're finding today. Jesus is the firm foundation. He is the solid rock. I'm going to read this and move on to my last point. You can turn there if you want to. It's in Matthew chapter 7. Most of you will already know this before I even read it. Listen to this, verse 24 and 25. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man who builds his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Amen. And I'm saying to you, everybody in here who's built your hope on Christ, you can handle anything that comes your way in life. You say, well, Willie, you don't know where I'm going to. I don't have to know what you're going to. I'm telling you that Christ promises that, how does he say it? How did Paul say it? My grace, what? Is sufficient. It is. God will enable you to handle anything that life brings your way. All right? Lastly, not only do we see stability in the kingdom of God, We also see righteousness. And if you look at verse 7, the first thing you notice is that of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So the king's rule will bring eternal peace. The king will have absolute authority and power. There is and will be no opposition to the peace of Christ. Christ is going to come and put down everyone that opposes him. I hope you believe that that day is really coming. This encourages anyone who's living in confusion and strife right now. You may not feel like you can be set free on this, on earth, but Christ is coming to set you free even from the most awful situation that you have to live in every day. The king's rule will bring about eternal justice. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. The certainty of his holy justice comforts anyone that's experiencing injustice right now. Right? God himself promises to do this. You see the very last phrase? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen. Well, Brother Willie, I just don't get it. Here's what I want you to think about. Do you live each day of your life under the lordship of Christ? You say, of course I do. Do you live each day like Christ is the Lord of your life? We already talked about this somewhat earlier today. Or do you make presumptuous decisions as if the king doesn't have anything to say about it? Right? Do you live each day under the lordship or the rulership of Christ? Is he the Lord of your family? The Lord of your relationships. Do you have relationships that you know God wouldn't be pleased with? Are things going on in your family that you know that the Lord wouldn't be pleased with? You see, that's what I'm asking you. Are things going on in your career, at your job that you are involved in that you know God wouldn't be pleased with? Are you making purchases that God wouldn't be pleased with? You have things going on in your ministry that God is not pleased with. Are you using your money for things that you know God wouldn't be pleased with? You see, then that's what I mean by lordship. If he's the Lord, then you're doing what God wants you to do with your money. Yes? Amen. Is he the Lord of your time and your talent? Is he the Lord of your voice? Are you using your voice for the Lord? What about your eyes? What do your eyes gaze upon? What do you spend most of your time with your eyes on? That's what I'm asking. Is he the Lord? Do you live like you're a citizen in a holy kingdom, in a righteous kingdom? Because Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, and he's coming again soon. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. And I hope that you will start doing that right now. Therefore, my beloved brother, sister, Judah was promised, and we are promised, that the light of Christ will be so wonderful that it will overcome any and all sadness. That's my desire as we think about Christmas. The light of Christ ought to bring joy to your heart, whether you get a Christmas present or not. Yes? The light of Christ, just to know that I am no longer living in darkness. I am actually free. I was saved in 79. So I've been free for almost 40 years. Isn't it amazing? You have to stop and think. Because I know me, I remember how I used to live. And I'm so thankful that I'm not a slave to that anymore. The light has come, And I am privileged to walk in the light as he is in the light. That ought to bring you joy this Christmas. Yeah? The light has come. And more than that, I am privileged to live the light out myself. That I can actually now, I used to walk into places where I wanted it to be dark. Because I really didn't want anybody to know what I was doing, and I didn't really want to know what they were doing. Now you can think about that twisted kind of mind. But now I want to see. And I want, not only do I want to see, I want other people to see, right? To enjoy the light. Christ has brought me light. I want to take that light to others. I hope that this Christmas will be one when you're thinking about how you can take the light of Christ to someone else rather than just what you're going to get. Yeah? What light are you going to take to someone this Christmas season? The light would overcome any and all sadness. It would give hope to anyone in any desperate situation. And everybody in this room knows somebody that's in a difficult situation. Yes? Everybody in this room knows somebody. Now you say, well, I'm in a difficult situation myself. Even if you're in a difficult situation, you know somebody else that's in a difficult situation. And you got light. They may not. God already promises you what he's going to do for you. You need to take that same hope to someone else. Yeah? Because I promise you, people going through things, watch us. And if you fuss just like they do, why should I come to your light? You see? My light isn't shining. I'm covering up my light with all of my issues and my complaints. My brother, my sister, this Christmas season ought to be one where we think more about light shining than about MasterCard and Visa and all of those things. I'm not putting down present. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not putting down any of that. I'm simply saying our priority ought to be a higher one. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, right? Then these other things will be added. This world needs to see some light. Amen. Needs to see some light. And we shouldn't just sing about peace. When we're around people, we ought to bring some peace. I've told them, we got a few people in our congregation that are good listeners. And I hope that we all learn to do better at that. Sometimes when people are hurting, they don't need advice. The first thing they need is for somebody to listen to them. It's an amazing thing for you to advise somebody and you ain't even heard what they're dealing with. It's tragic for us to go assuming that you got the answer. Now, I mean, in Jesus, there is the answer. But you at least need to listen. People need good listeners. You'd be amazed at how much peace you could bring to a situation if you just go and sit down and listen. And with this new generation, y'all don't do that. At least get on the phone or something. I'm always amazed. Phil and Dan got me into this texting thing a little while back. And I'm just amazed at how do you text so fast? It's like before you get it, I'm getting a response about, how can you even have time to think about it? So even for those of y'all who text with people, read the text. Think about it a minute. I mean, be a good listener even with text. I'm jesting, but you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes when people communicate to you, they really, they just want you to take some time with them. And so however you're communicating with people, I'm saying that let's just become better listeners at this season, right? People need some peace in their life. And we're the ones that God has left here to bring light and peace. The believers in Judah were looking forward to these promises in hope of the first coming of Christ. We look forward to these promises in hope of what? The second coming. God did not disappoint them, and he will not disappoint us. Amen. You believe that? The child is truly the Son of God. The child is truly the Wonderful Counselor. The child is truly the Everlasting Father. The child is truly the Mighty God and the Prince of Peace. He is the great light that brings hope. He's the great light that brings joy, the great light that brings freedom, the great light that brings stability and peace to all who believe in him. And so I hope that you'll keep that in mind this Christmas season, that not just a slogan. Now, don't just take a slogan that Jesus is the reason for the season. See that what people need to see what the Christian life looks like. That's what I'm trying to communicate. When I say the light is shining, and that's the way Jesus said it, let your light shine before men in such a way, what? That they will see your good works. That's what I believe people need to see this Christmas season. It's what a real Christian looks like. And if you're not a Christian, I'm saying to you that Jesus is the way. Just come to him today. He receives you just as you are, and you will not be disappointed in him. Amen. Lord, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we had together. And you know how blessed we are to have the light of Christ in our lives. We want to say how blessed we are to have the peace of Christ in our lives. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for we have come to know you as the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Thank you for every way that you have brought into our lives this hope and joy and stability and strength and all of these traits that we saw today. And for the one that is struggling here today, Lord, I'm just asking you to renew these promises in their heart, to renew this encouragement in the heart of the one that believes, and bring that great light, make that great light shine afresh and anew in the heart of every Christian today. And for the one that does not know you, would you bring someone into the light of Christ this morning so that they would experience the freedom and the joy of the Lord that sets the stage for the rest of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's bow together for just a few.